Hall on May 10th. That's democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Trina Nadura, Andre Lewis. We have internship applications that you can apply for at Democracy Now! You can check our website at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland. It is 7:59, and Voices from the Edge is next. Joanne Hardesty takes your calls. On May 1, there was a demonstration in Portland for May Day. Police called it a riot, shut it down. Was it a riot? Joanne takes your calls next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934. And certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of History, an enlightening story of hip-hop. Saturday, May 6th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, May 7th at 3 p.m. at Body Vox in Portland. The Love for Urban Art Dance Company will share an emotional historical journey of obstacles endured to create the crucial building blocks that has led to the success of hip-hop today. Again, that's History, an enlightening story of hip-hop, Saturday, May 6th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, May 7th at 3 p.m. at Body Vox, 1201 Northwest 17th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Voices from the Edge. I am your host, Joanne Hardesty. Today, I want to have a conversation about whether or not the May Day protests ultimately ended up being a riot. That is at least what Portland Police Bureau describes what happened at May Day. But I've been spending a lot of time researching, and what I'm hearing is the riot was not a riot at all, but in fact, some aggressive action from police. But we will get into that. First, I want to let you know, so what is May Day, and why do people take to the streets on May Day? In Portland, the Portland May Day Coalition is a body of grassroots community organizations, labor unions, faith communities, and individuals that come together each year to plan the May Day march and rally for International Workers' Day. Since 2006, this day of action has also focused on the relationship between workers' rights and immigration rights. In 2012, the May Day Coalition adopted the St. Paul's Principles as operating agreements for how to interact with coalition member organizations and the broader Occupy movement. The St. Paul Principles are: our solidarity will be based on respect for a diversity of tactics and the plans of other groups. 2, the actions and tactics used will be organized to maintain a separation of time or space. Any debates or criticism will stay internal to the movement, avoiding public or media denunciation of fellow activists and events. And 4, we oppose any state repression of dissent, including surveillance, infiltration, disruption, and violence. We agree not to assist law enforcement actions against activists and others. So that's who organizes the May Day marches here in Portland. That's their statement of principles. And we already have a caller on the line. Dee Dee, welcome to KBOO. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO. Dee Dee.
Thank you so much. I would like us to re-examine some of the official story with some actual facts you can see online videos. There are two groups of people, mostly in black, mostly their faces covered, staying together, and one is being vilified in the press and by other activists, and one is paid to protect and serve. It was the black bloc protesters that protected and served the children, the elderly, the people with disabilities who were in the march. They distracted, retracted, and delayed the police and distanced them, who were using and threatening chemical weapons, which are illegal in a war zone, impact weapons, and brain or mind control weapons, as they announced on their loudspeaker. The activists, the protesters in black, protected the other folks. Some of them blocked, distracted, put barricades up. They had three shopping carts, like the Black Widow, to hand out water, keep them from being dehydrated, and to wash off chemical burns from the poisons the police use. They distracted, they held people back, and then others went forward, warned the crowds, and escorted help people. It was the police who took away the accessibility vehicle and denied accessibility and safety to the people that was already arranged and permitted. It was the police
people to unsafe. Hi, can I ask you some questions? Hello? Hi, can I ask you some questions? So this was a peaceful protest. When did it become non-peaceful?
Well, the police were threatening people ahead of time and harassing the black bloc before and during the rally. During the rally and during the first parts of the march, all permitted, all the protesters were, of course, obeying the permit, law-abiding, non-violent, cooperative, supportive, respectful. At 3rd and Madison, the police, who had been seen in their riot gear, threatening folks, kind of harassing folks, especially harassing the black bloc, who separated themselves and held themselves further south, kind of as a kind of barrier for the folks, then the police were making themselves more known. We know the police infiltrate. The first things that were seen on the videos of being thrown between the black bloc of protesters and the black bloc of police was from the police to the protesters and marchers. And of course, we know there are infiltrators pretending to be protesters causing trouble. But even when people, whether they were infiltrators or actual activists, doing those things did not justify the police. And it started at 3rd and Madison. And it was the police threatening people with a loudspeaker and in their riot gear, in their huge transport, militarized, that built up the tensions. I listened to folks who had never gone to marches or rallies before in their lives.
Right.
And they were kind of scared of the black bloc because they had heard all this propaganda. And so I took some of them over to talk to some of these really sweet, nice, loving, dedicated, some of these people I dearly love, and I'm not going to name on the radio, but they're really good, sincere, dedicated citizens that are ideal heroes. And ask them, here's someone, that's you guys, you want to talk? And they were describing why they had the three shopping carts, the Black Widow, because, like Black Widows, anarchists are vilified, people are scared of them, they're not as dangerous as people say, they protect the other spiders and other organisms, they're pretty shy and they're kind of hidden, but they protect humanity by destroying the mosquitoes and all the mosquito diseases, the fleas, the flea and fly.
So you're alleging alleging that there were people that were had their faces covered, that started the altercations, that may have
police did.
The police started the altercation. So the police threw things at the people with their face covered. Is that what you're alleging?
Well, both the police and the protesters were in black with covered faces. The first projectile came from the police towards the marchers. And the police were harassing and building up tension before and during the rally, and then escalated that. And then they had the loudspeaker and were threatening chemical weapons, impact weapons, and mind control weapons over the speakers at 3rd and Madison.
And so how many
before
let me I am still trying to make sure that our callers kind of get a picture of what was happening. So forgive me for keep interrupting, but I'm trying to get the big picture. And so would you say there were thousands of people on the street? And would you say that it was a mixture of every demographic, old, babies, teenagers, everybody?
Correct. In fact, there was a guy with a green sign saying, I'm a Republican, you know, and I'm for workers' rights and against police brutality.
Okay, wonderful. So it's over 1,000 people, a very diverse group of folks, they're speakers. Now, and you say the police showed up in their riot gear, which is all black, with the pads on their knees all the way down their legs. What are those long, thin sticks that the police have when they show up in their riot gear? Is that a gas?
It's a weapon.
Is it a taser? What is that long black thing?
No, well, they have batons to hit people.
Batons. So those are long batons.
Well, they have long batons, you know, sticks to hit people. They've got the tasers are small, the revolvers are small, and then the big barrels are for the pellet guns, the bean bags, and the other things. And the rifles, those all are different kinds of weapons
right.
that they have. But the tasers are small, and the big batons are big sticks.
Okay, so the speakers finish, the marchers take off. You're alleging, because again, I haven't seen the video, I'm just going by your word. You're alleging that the police were taunting people and being aggressive from the beginning.
Yes.
All right, and so the marchers take off, and you said it was on 3rd and Madison when the police all of a sudden started making threats to the public. That was when they shut it down?
Yeah, over the loudspeaker.
Oh, so over the loudspeaker, they announced that the permit had been pulled?
They were threatening to use chemical weapons, impact weapons, and mind control weapons. And
mind control weapons. Did they announce that the march was no longer permitted?
That was later, and the people in the front could not hear that. They did not know that.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an opportunity.
The people in the front were being ambushed from all sides, and they didn't know what was going on or where to go.
What do you mean they were being ambushed by who?
The police were coming in. From the front and the sides, as well as the back. And so the marchers didn't have
any exit.
Any exit.
Right.
And there were scared little children. Now, at the beginning of the march, there were children in their, children holding the flags. There was the Glitter Brigade, which is people with disabilities, and there were elders. There was people with their Raging Granny t-shirts. There were little children. Those were the people up front, and then other oppressed, the slowest walkers
right.
and the more oppressed
right.
and most silenced, denied voice were up front. And we know the cops always are at the worst, at the back. So the protectors in black were in the back to protect the people up front. And then they split up. They had things to divert, to delay, to distract the cops.
So
others ran forward and warned the people up front and escorted people out.
Well, I want to thank you for being the first caller. I have a lot of people that want to weigh in on this topic. I appreciate you setting the frame. If you have videos, that's video evidence is always a good thing, even though we know police aren't necessarily prosecuted because we catch them on videotape. But
yes, everything I said, there have been multiple videos online that I could also see everything that I've told you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. 503-231-8187. Who else do we have? Good morning, Steve.
Steve, how are you, Joanne?
I'm good. How about you?
Great. I love your work. I don't agree with everything you say. I don't have time for anarchists, and I feel like the disruption, that there has to be some inward looking on the part of the organizers. I just want to, I'm thinking of two quotes I wanted to just throw out there.
Okay.
One is, for organizers to think about, one is, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one attributed to Richard Nixon, he said, I don't worry about my enemies, I know what they're up to. It's my friends and their behavior that keeps me up at night.
Oh, I got one for you.
Go ahead.
In the end, we will not remember the words of our enemy, but the silence of our friends. Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.
Excellent. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, David. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello, Joanne. Hey, I was at that march, and my impression was that the police, they had a plan before the march ever started to shut it down right away, because once the march got started, a few people chucked water bottles at
them, right.
And they turned into Molotov cocktails. The cops came over the loudspeakers and said, "We are being assaulted by Molotov cocktails. This permit is pulled." Just like right away, they became very aggressive.
And so this was early on in the march.
Yes, early on. And yes, there were some kids there that were intent on doing things. I mean, they didn't just show up with lighter fluid and road flares, and it just wasn't just a coincidence they had to have them in their pocket. but the police were very aggressive. And you know what? They monitor the anarchist websites. And so they think, okay, there's going to be all this chaos and we have to shut it down before it ever gets started.
Right.
So that was their plan. And unfortunately, people that were there for the march got caught in the middle.
Right.
And, and it's like, the police were swarming all over downtown and people were running in terror. Everything, it was chaos.
Well, so you raise a good point. So if the police knew who the mm-hmm. people were that were creating chaos, and the police are well-trained and are able to identify those disruptors, why would the police not just engage the disruptors and allow the peaceful protest to continue on?
Well, see, the thing is, their tactics, because at the beginning of the march, they were trying to intimidate the people, the black bloc, they were trying to intimidate them, and you can't single somebody out just because they're wearing black, or they have their face covered.
Right.
So once the march got started, most of the black bloc was near the back. And if the cops wanted to, they could have came in there and cut them off from the rest of the march.
Right.
But I think the idea is that, you let this happen, and then you say, see how it is? See how mm-hmm. these people are? That's mm-hmm. why we need these heavy-handed police tactics.
Right.
And why we have to have cops looking like RoboCop, showing up for protest.
Oh, my gosh.
In a way, it justifies what they're doing.
Right. You know? Now, what do you think about the previous caller mentioned the possibility that police had infiltrated and actually police were the ones that had their faces covered in black and actually starting the aggressive interaction between the protesters and the police?
Oh, that happens. That happens at protests, It happens all the time. And I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen,
Yeah, you don't have to be paranoid to think that they're out to get you, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, the march itself, and it was a beautiful thing. I mean, like the caller said, there was kids there was people of every demographic there, everything, And I don't dismiss the black bloc. I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong in any way, but it's just like, because they have a right to be there, and they have a right. And for them to actually stand up to the police state like that is pretty, in my eyes, is pretty brave. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I do think that there is, we certainly should be having a conversation about why is it that the police actually record using facial recognition software, record protesters on a regular basis. So why is it when you're exercising your right to free speech that the police get to develop a file on you just based on your participation?
I know I'm on file because I go to every protest.
I've been on file for so long, it's probably pretty big by now. Well, I appreciate...
they've had to age my files.
Right. We have to cut them down by decades. Okay, this is decade one, right. We're going to move on to decade two. I think the biggest problem for people who want to exercise their free speech is how this puts all protesters in a bad light. Here we have a media narrative that somehow a diverse group of people with children and grandparents and people with disabilities decided that it would be fun to attack the police. And so that's the narrative that's being played out over and over and over again. But it's
Exactly. So if there was the agent provocateurs in there, you know, they were playing right to the narrative because that's what the police want and that's what the city wants because they don't want protests.
No. Well, you know? And of course, the police certainly, because they have people who write press release all day and send it out to the media, gets to frame the story. Unless there's video that we, the public, can then see ourselves and then make our own decision. And so do you know if there are videos that exist online?
Oh, I don't know because I'm not computer savvy. I'm a Luddite. You know?
All right.
I wouldn't know.
That's okay. There are people that do that. There are people that know a lot more about that than you or I.
Well, and people need to be aware that the police are monitoring that all the time as well.
All the time.
Like, so the anarchists need to be aware of that. That they're, you know, they know exactly what's going on.
And Portland police have been caught so many times gathering information on people illegally.
Oh, yeah, way back from the 60s.
Way, 50s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, excuse me.
That's okay. Same old. Have a good day. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187. Anybody else want to weigh in? Gabriel,
yeah.
Good morning, Gabriel.
Hey, good to be on the show again. Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I was down there marching with people from my church. You know, I was in a whole stroller brigade.
Right.
And I would just like to add, you know, my testimony to the fact that we were closer to the back, and the whole time we were in the march, I just kept seeing the police trying to provoke a response out of people who were in the quote unquote black bloc, right, shoving them with their bicycles or with their batons, like an older brother poking his little brother, trying to get him to hit him back so he can
beat him up, right?
And that's exactly what happened. And despite whether tactically I agree with what the Black Bloc did or not, no matter what they did, it did not justify the Portland police sending off a flashbang grenade that landed about 15 feet behind my 16-month-old daughter.
Wow.
And I'm just, you know, at what point are we going, here's the big question in my mind, is like, at what point are we going to either demand that Ted Wheeler hold this police department accountable, or tell Ted Wheeler that he needs to go? Because in my mind, I've never seen a Portland mayor able to control the Portland Police Department, but some do better than others. And I don't know if Ted Wheeler just is doing a horrible job or if he's behind this escalation in militarization and violence on the police department. But we got to start thinking about doing something more than fighting them in the streets, because we won't ever win there. But to the Black Bloc for at least standing up for themselves and for the rest of us when the cops started opening fire on us for just walking in a permitted march with our children.
Here's something that I think people who were there and saw what happened, absolutely have to do. You have to email the mayor and the entire city council. Remember, this is the same police department that's under the Department of Justice settlement agreement that is actually supposed to be changing how policing happens.
Which I hear they're starting to throw out now.
Well, this mayor has said, regardless of what Sessions does at the federal level, he is committed to the settlement agreement. But the settlement agreement is just a tiny piece of what's wrong with Portland police.
Right.
And so I would say the mayor and the entire city council, because the entire city council is on the hook for fixing Portland Police Bureau, because they all voted to support the settlement agreement, needs to hear directly from you, your experience at that march. Because people of color have been saying to this mayor and the mayor before him how aggressive the police show up when people of color are leading protests, and yet how officer friendly like they are when white women protest.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as a faith-based individual who came as part of a faith group, and you're in the rest of your group, needs to write to city council, and everybody else needs to do that as well. Because
I'll certainly do that. And I just over the last couple of days, though, I've just heard so many people buy into the narrative of like, oh, but they were throwing Pepsi cans, and I just like, in what world does one person throwing a Pepsi can justify,
right,
a tactical assault on a large group of civilians just walking peacefully? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So
no.
If you're out there listening right now and that's what's been going through your mind, just kind of think about that, you know, real quick. Of one person throwing a Pepsi can and then them unleashing flashbang grenades and by children, you know.
Right. So anyway. Children, elders, people with disabilities.
Oh, also, I mean, it's not okay for anybody, but
right.
I, you know, as a parent, it's like, when the cops do it to you, you're like, you're kind of like, okay, that happens. But when they do it to your children, it's a different line they've crossed. You
that's
know?
Right. Totally different story. Thank you so much for your call.
You.
And
bye
please
bye.
Follow through, and please encourage other people in your group to follow through as well. All right. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Don. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First time caller.
Well, happy thank you
to,
for calling.
Be able to get on. So I was actually downtown for the protests,
right,
and witnessed everything. On my office is right there on 5th and Morrison. And, I mean, literally full Pepsi cans. It's not really downplaying the issue of that. That is a deadly thing when somebody's throwing a literal full Pepsi can.
That could hurt.
Yeah, not could hurt. That can kill. I mean, that's just like a rock. That is a dangerous item.
Right.
And the fire in the middle of the streets and the intimidation. I mean, I'm struggling with all this. We need to be able to have the right to protest.
Right.
But at some point, the people that are protesting need to police themselves. And I did not witness the black clad people being protectors. I witnessed them doing the bulk of the damage. Breaking windows, setting fires, throwing rocks, throwing Pepsi cans, slashing tires. And I mean, firsthand, intimidation, you know, get away, you can't film me. And of course, I'm not out there filming.
Right.
It's just, I don't understand. I get it that we're saying that the police reaction was rough and that they could do better, but it's also, you have to look at the fear from their perspective when you understand that these guys that are doing this,
right,
don't have any care, and they're not actually out there for the real cause.
Right. So let
and
me
I
ask you
mean that sincerely.
Right. So let me ask you this. I mean, and I, if there's a group of people that are clearly easily identifiable, right, that are throwing Pepsi cans, that are breaking windows, et cetera, then those people are the problem. So why are you not with your professionally trained police force able to contain that group of people and allow peaceful protesters to continue?
I agree, and I don't have the answer to that.
Right.
I understand what you're saying on that, and it's a bad situation, but it's to villainize. We have had issues in the police, like we've had a lot of issues, and we have a lot of issues that we need to deal with.
Amen.
And
yes.
You know, that's not even a question.
Right.
But
But we have to look at all sides, right?
We do, and it's rough. And I'm sitting there, and when people from my office can't leave because they're literally being intimidated, and this is not the bulk of the protesters. This is the people in black. But the unfortunate thing is that's how things are ruined for everybody.
Right.
It's 90% can be for good, always.
Right.
And then you have that 10%, and there's no easy way to say, okay, we're gonna push these people apart. Because as soon as something bad starts happening, those people in black scatter throughout the rest of the group. So this is not something that, they're not standing there and saying, we're making a line and we're just going to be by ourselves. You know, as soon as it starts getting rough, then they are the ones blending in with the people, blending in with the families and whatnot, and then trying to still cause issues.
Police are recording everyone. Police are using facial recognition software. Police,
but why does it have to be that way?
But wait.
Is my question.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Actually, we are using military equipment in communities for communities who are exercising their constitutional rights. When you start dropping grenades, when you start pushing thousands of people from one side of a street to the other, that has the potential to go really, really, really badly very quickly. And again, we're talking about people who supposedly are trained in how to be at protests. But they show up different based on the ethnicity of the organizers of the protests.
I don't know that the ethnicity was an issue in this.
Why would...
Because the people in black,
right.
these were not
people of color,
African Americans.
Right.
These were white college kids.
Okay.
These were white young kids for the most part. This was not a color or racial issue.
No. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, so for example, for the Women's March, the police showed up with cameras and big smiles. When there is a march that's organized by people of color, like the May Day March, primarily immigrants, primarily union workers, faith leaders, et cetera, they show up in riot gear, right? And they show up in a very aggressive manner. Now, I've had lots of callers this morning talk about how aggressive the police were from the beginning and how the police kept picking at the folks, the black bloc folks. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw it going both ways. Yes, and I did see that. And here's my thing on it is that if there's a cause, we need to stop some of these social injustices.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out a way to get over this. But you can't have a small group ruining it
for
everybody else.
That's right.
And everyone else that is around stands and watches it. And, you know, because we have this group, and we have a group of people, and we know that it's for a good cause, what
right.
people are out there, but they allow this other group to ruin it. And the truth is, why don't we just say, hey, we don't want you with us.
Mm.
We don't want what you are going to turn into,
right.
what you're going to try and turn this into. All the good that we are going to try and do is going to be for nothing because the police are going to push this certain narrative.
Well, I can tell you that I agree with you on that. When I organize a protest, when I participate in a protest, we are very clear that it is a nonviolent, family-friendly protest. And anyone's welcome who agrees with those principles. And if you don't agree, have a good day.
I'm spot on. I agree with you 100%. We have issues we need to get to. We need to get into our inner cities.
Right.
We need to equalize education. There is a lot of things we need to do.
Yes, we do.
But at some point, we have to take accountability for this stuff and say, you know what? I don't need the government to do this for me.
Right.
I don't need the local police force to do this.
Right.
I can make a difference.
That's
and
right.
I can continue this with my group of people. They were outnumbered.
Right.
I mean,
well,
you're
always going to lose.
What I don't get.
Right. You're always going to lose if you pick a fight with the police. But I don't dismiss the fact that police infiltrate grassroots organizations and start violence within those organizations. I mean, the police have a long history, all the way back to the early days of the civil rights movement. So we know the police are really good at actually
And we know what's going to happen, and we agree. And yeah. I agree. So let's figure out a way to get past it.
I'm with you.
And let's figure out a way to actually move beyond. Instead, and we can sit here and we can talk about it, but let's figure out a way to where we can actually control. And it doesn't have to be with violence. And it doesn't have.
No.
But we can say, hey, Antifa, we don't want you at this rally.
Right.
And that's honestly, that was those are the issue kids. The anarchists, those are the issue kids. And I call them kids because the most of them are, I mean, you saw who was arrested. There was, I think, one in the 40s. The rest of them were 14 to 25.
Right.
So
right.
It's not, it is a small little group.
But we also know that kids do stupid things, right? I mean,
But that's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. No. Not an excuse. Easily led, right? Wondering about a 44-year-old hanging out with 14-year-olds, but that's
Bingo.
A conversation for another day.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
You know what?
What?
We are so close, and if people saw us, they'd say that we were so far away. But we're on the same exact page.
I believe that.
There's something amiss with all of this, and people don't get it, that right. There's coaching and not good coaching.
You have a good day, my friend. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you being a first-time caller, and I don't mind people disagreeing with me. It's just how I roll, right? But I love being able to hear your perspective and share mine. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Back to the phone line. Good morning, Ross. Welcome to Cable. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Joanne. I have to say I really appreciate the last caller response.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have a question to start with you. What do you think is the effect of what the Black Bloc people did on the purpose of the rally in terms of generating support for immigrant rights and immigrant justice
and workers'
and
rights
mm-hmm. and workers' rights and comprehensive immigrant reform.
So, Ross, first let me say that I'm not, based on all the callers I've listened to this morning, I'm not convinced that they were the ones that started the violence. Based on what I've heard, it sounds like there was a lot of intimidation. Whenever cops put on all that gear, that riot gear, and then show up at a scene with thousands of people, they tend to think they need to use that gear. So I'm not convinced that there was a small group that actually started the violence, right? What I am convinced of is that it is possible that police continue to use tactics like infiltration of grassroots community organizations. You've been involved with the NAACP for over 50 years, so you know how the police have used organizations like the NAACP.
I don't think I've ever been a member of an important left organization that I didn't believe was infiltrated
by
intelligence agents of the state or the local police.
Right.
And most of the cases, I knew that to be the case.
Right.
And so one simply has to be on guard and
mindful.
I'm even wondering, because I know the milieu of people who are welcome to left-wing organizations, just like we welcome everybody to churches,
right?
That it gets filled with all kinds of people.
Yes.
And I have to say, I don't know if the police would be wrong to stand down and not have their gear and not have any intelligence service. I have to think they would not be. I think they necessarily have to have their intelligence I didn't get down to the demonstration because I actually was at the courthouse where an immigrant friend was being arraigned. Now, I also tried to participate in the May Day for years, and this is not something that just happened this year. The people have been developing this Black Bloc is a movement that's been developing. It's been there. They come to the movement the group that plans with May Day, and what we have to come to the point is understanding The Black Bloc has their own agenda of moving into the demonstration. Whether they're police agents or not, it amounts to the same thing. But the organization of the left has got to, especially the organization that May Day, if it's going to be our May Day, we have to participate in the planning meetings, and we have to create rules and even dress code for a demonstration such that it has its effect. And so that's what I recommend, that we all get and we join into the planning for May Day. And I don't know, years ago we have marches. We always have a whole bunch of people to be marshals, and and if some and we have to do that. But otherwise, I think we become victimized, and we fail at our mission. And frankly, I think we're at a great moment of opportunity. We have the greatest strength of resistance, the strongest left I've seen in years, with the what happened in the elections, despite the fact that for reasons still we don't understand, this guy Trump managed to win. We have a great opportunity, so just at this great opportunity, we do not want it sabotaged by a bunch of people who deliver us to the media in this way.
Well, I thank you, yes, so much for your call. You're right. I mean, I think that's your call to action, is that if people want to change how May Day operates, they should be involved in the planning. Yes.
Join it. Just don't tag along. Okay, bless you.
Bless you, too. Thank you so much. Love you as well. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Joshua. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I was just going to say briefly, I was at the march, and I got a lot of video, and it was really interesting, the perspective that people take.
Right.
And I think it depends on whether or not they have belief in the system or whether the system is failing at this moment, because, you know, I saw new tactics that I've never seen by, and let's call them for what they are. These are paramilitary forces.
Right.
The very act that the military is in the street should bring alarm bells. This is one thing. The anarchists and the Black Bloc, you know, they have a clear understanding of this. They're not just going to say, well, just, you know, surveillance and, you know, facial recognition it's necessary in our society because there's these bad actors. You know, when we surrender these rights, it is wrong. The other thing I want to say is I saw, this was a new tactic, these military personnel marching in the crowd have video of this, and it was really disgusting.
Wait, say that again. You saw military personnel marching in the crowd?
Yes, these riot cops.
Right.
They were enthused. They had all their gear, and they were marching in the crowd in their gear. And so this was, you know, for something that for a rally that is against this police state, to have these entities insert themselves was an extreme act of aggression. And we saw it. We all saw it. And they were at the beginning of the rally filming the Black Bloc.
Right.
The Black Bloc people were turning in mass. They're in turn because police were coming over the cameras. This is very insightful.
See, I mean, I think that's the part that the general public knows no part about. I mean, I know this because, I mean, I only became aware of this when we were negotiating the Portland police contract, or when Charlie Hales was giving away the shop, whichever way you want to describe it. When I noticed that the Homeland Security had this fancy camera where they were taking pictures of everybody that showed up. And think about that. You show up to exercise your constitutional right to testify on a piece of legislation that will impact your life. You have not given up your right to privacy just by showing up at City Hall. And you're saying that this is, you saw this as a brand new tactic to go out into the crowd and take pictures of everybody using these cameras.
I was saying that in the beginning, when the Black Bloc was separate and the South Bloc, they were coming and scanning the entire crowd, and you can see all the Black Bloc messages, turn your back.
Wow.
But the officers were marching in rally to show their presence. It wasn't alongside. It wasn't during the march.
Right.
It was in the march, and they were in twos, and it was a really toxic presence.
So like a military formation. They were kind of lined up in a military formation?
No, more than, so I'd never seen this before. Like, looking behind me, filming with my camera, and seeing marching with families, with Black Bloc, with all these different groups that presented two soldiers, paramilitary police, in the crowd, marching in the crowd. I had never seen that before. Now, maybe that has happened, but it did its job for me. It were unwelcome. You know, before they've been directing traffic, and we walked by them, but they were going to be in this march, and physically in it with all these groups, and they were not wanted.
And
they
sounds like an intimidation tactic, all right. Wow. I'd love to see that video. I mean, I think there's just so much that, again, when the police actually create the narrative, riot, so we had to shut down the May Day march. I was trying to get downtown for a 4 o'clock meeting, and the police had blocked off two of the bridges. And that was even before the march had started. I couldn't understand, well, why would they block off the bridges? And their response was they wanted to keep the protesters from getting on the bridge. But that was before the march had actually started. So thank you. I really appreciate your call. I'm learning a lot more because I know not to just read or listen to the news at 11 or to just read what's in printed media, because they get all their information directly from the police.
Joanne, can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
I don't think any caller has talked about, and this should be scary for everyone, the police referenced a ordinance after they had said that it had turned into a riot, and they listed the forceful tactics that this ordinance, the Portland ordinance, opened up. And this I had never heard before either, and we are going to start seeing more of this in the future, whether or not Black Bloc is there. When groups choose to do civil disobedience and choose to divert from the march, they are going to start calling out this ordinance over the loudspeaker, that it will unleash their ability to use, you know, more and more lethal tactics in the march. And maybe your engineer can look up what this was, but they listed the number and they said it clearly, that there can be no mistake, the gloves are coming off. And it was scary.
So basically, they read off some statue and says, noun is free game and we can use as much violence as necessary.
Yeah.
Wow. That is scary. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your call.
Thank you, Joanne.
Have a great day. Good morning, Judith. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne.
Do you want to add to the conversation?
Yes, I would love to add a few things. So I was at the march and rally, and I agree with most of what's been said this morning. And I thought it was also interesting when I went home, I looked at the quote-unquote live stream, for example, that KGW had up.
Right.
And so, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but this is my theory. So what I saw was mostly pictures from the helicopter with a reporter narrating. And then he would say, okay, something has been thrown. But that would never be shown.
Mm.
So my theory is the police were telling them that this is what happened, but that was not actually shown to us.
Interesting.
And and then the whole media narrative, I mean, we came home terrified, and my neighbor had never seen anything like this. We turn on the TV, and the riot porn and the whole emphasis on the property destruction. I called the TV station later, and I said, you know, why didn't you show that the police attacked us, terrified 1,000 people, and instead, you know, you're moaning over a broken window. Now, I don't condone the property destruction, but the thing is, what about the PTSD that these people, the psychic damage that it does?
Right.
And I think we have to keep things in perspective and say, okay, this was a permitted march.
Right.
It was advertised as family-friendly.
Yes.
And this is what the Portland police did versus Saturday, where there was an unpermitted march by Nazis out on 82nd.
Yes.
That the police escorted.
Yes, yes.
And they had sticks, they had whatever weapons.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And then gave them a ride back.
Yes.
And at the rally on May Day, at 1 o'clock, there was a Buddhist group that was doing a meditation.
Right.
And they had their banner, and they were told that they had to take the poles off the banner because that could be used as a weapon.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, so Buddhists, right? So
yes.
They're right.
Very dangerous people.
Very dangerous people. Wow.
Yes.
I love, thank you so much for bringing that up. I forgot to make that connection, right?
Yep.
So when Nazis march, they get a police escort.
Exactly. Because
but,
I think the Portland police must have felt really at home with them.
Yeah, they must have.
Yeah.
They,
and I mean, when you, and it's like the person before just, or you were saying about the bridges being blocked.
Yes.
Here is a permitted march.
Right.
The route is advertised.
Right.
Everybody knows.
Yes.
You know, and like we would say in the march, you know, who's blocking traffic?
Right.
We're blocking traffic.
Right.
The cops are blocking traffic.
And that's exactly what the message was. Because once I got home to, because I couldn't get downtown, so I go back home and I turn on the news and they're like, well, the police blocked the bridges to keep protesters from taking the bridges. Oh, so basically, right. Because you think that might happen, let's just inconvenience everybody in the city and allow nobody downtown.
Exactly.
Right.
And I mean, it was interesting to see some of the various videos because, I mean, you realize that, okay, I'm in a crowd of 1,000.
Right.
I can only see what I see right where I'm at.
Right.
I don't know what happens in front or in the back.
Right.
And to just see the taunting, I mean, you know, when you show up to a peaceful rally in riot gear, what do you think is going to happen?
Yes.
And the way, I mean, I call it collective punishment, what the Portland police did to us.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's like, and they gave us no time. And wherever we went, we were told that we were not allowed to be there. You know, okay, you're not, this is now an unlawful assembly. Get out of the street.
Right.
Now, get off the sidewalk. You know, and it's like, oh my God, where do you want us to go? And it's like, okay, so they're in their riot gear.
Right.
So if a Pepsi can was thrown at them, you know, it's not like it was going to injure them. And but I just go back to how poorly trained are they?
Yes.
That they cannot decide to be adults and professionals and deal with an actual incident if it happened and deal with that instead of collectively punish 1,000 people.
Right, exactly right. Well, I hope you will also take the time to write the city council, starting with the mayor / police commissioner, because he needs to hear from people who are at the march what really happened.
Yeah.
And I am so sorry. That just sounds so terrifying.
It was really terrifying. You know, fortunately, it had not been my first time seeing some of these tactics.
Right.
But, you know, for everyone else. And, I mean, the thing is, you know, to see the arbitrariness of their actions, you never know. And, I mean, also all the people that just happen to be downtown for business, for pleasure, for whatever.
Yes.
Nobody is safe in that situation. And then, you know, but I also really, really have to say the culpability of the media to totally buy into this narrative. They're not reporting. They are just repeating what the police say, and that is really disgusting.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you so, so much for your call. Again, I am so sorry you had that experience, but you are a voice that our city council will listen to. I also encourage our listeners, write letters to the editor, write to the TV stations, encourage them to tell the whole story, not just read police press releases as if that's fact.
Yep. I have not written to all of them, but I wrote to OPB, and I'm in the middle of writing to COIN, because that's who I watched.
Wonderful.
And, yeah.
Yeah, COIN most of the time does a really balanced reporting, but if they didn't, they need to hear from you.
The little bit that I saw, it was, they were bemoaning. It's terrible, the destruction. And it's like, really? I mean, okay, so a police car got damaged, and that's, you know, that's not okay. But it's like, what about all of us who were absolutely terrorized by the Portland police over what?
Yes.
What public emergency existed for them to act like that? That people cannot see that.
Yes.
And I always say they choose how they react.
Yes.
This is not what they had to do.
No. Because when you show up, when you are, I'm ex-military, so I know when you put all your armor on and you show up in force, you're planning to push people around.
Absolutely.
You are not there to provide support.
Nope.
You are there there to mandate behavior.
Absolutely.
Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you for the call.
And keep writing those letters. Keep making those phone calls. And just in case you didn't know, the mayor's office phone number is 503-823-4120.
Oh, yeah. I called already.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye now. Any other callers? Good morning, James. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Oh, Joanne, thank you so much for your program.
You're very welcome.
I've been a member of this organization since the 80s.
Wonderful.
I also was at Berkeley and was arrested as an anti-apartheid demonstrator in the 80s.
Ah, so you got some cred.
I wanted to ask if I could possibly add a little spark to your arming that trigger there. We had, from a confidant I know, so-called volunteers from outside agencies involved with this operation, and they were not paid. And I had understood that possibly the city of Portland did not insure them for their actions. So I think we need to do a public information request. I could ghostwrite one. I don't know if I could be the one to sign it, but maybe Dan Handelman I will contact. But I think that we should do some public information requests on that. And also, maybe these people were the ones, the volunteers who incited the problem there at 3rd and Madison.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, that's a great idea. I think there should be a public records request to just see what information they have.
Right.
And see if it
has to include the risk management department because they handle the insurance for them, I believe.
Right. Right. Very good. And the city's self-insured anyway. So, yeah.
Risk management department, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you so much for your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you, KBOO.
Appreciate it. Thank you for being a member. I think we got time to get one more call in. Eduardo, welcome to KBOO. Good morning. Oops, looks like we lost Eduardo. Holly? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning, Holly. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to call in that at noon I was walking by the protest and I saw, as it was assembling, and I saw 20 of the people dressed in black with masks. And when I saw that, I knew this was radically different than the protests I've been to in the last 5 years.
Hmm.
And they look like outsiders. They look squeaky clean. They actually, to me, look like people that were hired. They looked a lot like the GMO people that totally kind of don't, the people that were protesting against the GMO labeling.
Right.
They looked like they were on the clock. And then I did see one person break away from that block and walk with a large grocery bag, and the cops stopped him. And I do understand why they stopped him. Like, you know, what do you have in this huge bag? You know, a bomb or something. And I thought that the police did a really good job. I think that's the reason when you have 20, 30 people all dressed with masks, the cops had to scale up. And I was glad that they shut it down early because it was going to cost the city huge dollar amounts. And I've instructed my family and friends, if you see those people show up, just leave. Because those people are violent, and whether they're cops or whether they're infiltrators or whatever, they are violent and they are co-opting our protest, and we need to leave. And we're losing our right to assemble when these people show up, and I don't know how to corral them, but if they show up, we need to leave because bad things are going to happen to us.
Well, I appreciate your call. I certainly appreciate your perspective as well. But I mean, you have to weigh the totality. The fact that that people show up with their faces covered in and of itself is not illegal and doesn't.
They did that at Occupy because people that were had 9-to-5 jobs didn't want to lose it. But this was different because I've been to Occupy.
Okay.
I've been to Occupy in Phoenix.
Ma'am, hello. Hi, ma'am.
Hi.
The program is just about over. Only got 20 seconds left. Thank you very much for your call. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to let folks know That I think that there's a lot of video, there's a lot of personal anecdotes that say the police overreacted. They showed up ready to go to war, and that's exactly what they did. As a community, we should demand better, and the entire Portland City Council is responsible for making sure policing works the same for all of us. This has been Joanne Hardesty. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you, John. See you next week, same time, same station. Have a great day.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Good morning, it's 8:59, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. More exciting programming just like this coming up. Press Watch is next at 9 o'clock.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways for communities to resist before it's too late. Again, that's Chris Hedges, Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.